Hello, everyone, and welcome to another Focus podcast. I'm your host, Singing Lisa. Glad to be here. And of course, we are sponsored by Canon Hospice and the Akula Foundation. And, you know, we're definitely always hoping that everyone remains safe and that your families are all well, especially as many states and cities are beginning to relax their standards. The stay-at-home is being lifted in many ways. So please still remain safe as you go out and rejoin the world, right? But of course, we are very happy to always spotlight someone in the community doing great things to keep all of us supplied with what we need. And we have a very special guest today. It is Craig Sarton. He is from Sarton's Discount Drugs Incorporated. And so, Craig, thank you so much for joining me and being my guest today. And so please introduce yourself to everyone and tell them how you got into the pharmacy business.
Okay. Yeah. Thanks for having me. I appreciate the opportunity. I graduated from pharmacy school, University of Mississippi, Ole Miss, in 1979, and I worked for other people for a few years and then decided I want to try to go out on my own. So in 1983, I opened up my first drugstore, Sarton's Discount Drugs. Little bitty drugstore, 1,500 square feet. I kept it there for 5 years and then built a 5,000 square foot building just about 100 yards from that and moved into that. And then a few years after that, I started another company called Sarton's Vital Care, which is a home infusion company. And so I've had the home infusion company now for 32 years, I guess, and the pharmacy about 38 years. And so we're kind of a staple on the Mississippi Gulf Coast. I've been here for a long time. I've been really blessed and fortunate to have a successful business. Thank goodness, I've got great staff and a good community and really enjoy what we do.
Well, congratulations for that, because to be a mainstay and have that staying power means that you are doing something right and you're adding to the value of what people need in the community. So that's definitely to be, commended. And of course, during this particular time, I know through your years, you have supplied people with the prescriptions, and now you have other supplies and services. And so this has been, this time, something that many, I'm sure absolutely everyone has said that they've never seen before. But what I'm interested in is how your business and your perspective has changed, because through the years you've made changes. But now here we are in a mandated change that has been forced on everyone because of COVID-19. And so how has the pharmacy perspective been affected with supply and demand?
Yeah, it's exactly like what you said. We've never seen anything like this before, and hopefully we won't ever see it again. It's changed the face of pharmacy, but not only pharmacy. It's changed the face of most every single business, here. And so early on, when this started, there was an overwhelming need for PPE and those sorts of things, and as you well know, you couldn't get thermometers, you couldn't get masks, you couldn't get gloves, and so we really made a concerted effort, to go out and find distributors that had masks. I've bought and sold thousands and thousands of masks, because of the need that that we needed that was apparent, but. What's crazy is that, digital thermometers, for instance, we were selling those for like $2. Now we have to sell them for $13, $14, $15 because we're paying, $10, $11. Same with the thermoscan, the no-touch thermometer that's been, you're paying two and three and four times the amount. And also, there was a huge need for hand sanitizer. And so you couldn't get it anywhere. And fortunately, I had a good buddy that was in the central part of the state that had access to alcohol. So I would hook up my trailer to my truck, drive an hour and a half, and pick up 55-gallon drums of isopropyl 99% alcohol, bring it back here, and mix it according to the FDA, guidelines. And for sanitizer, we've done, 500, 600, 700 gallons of sanitizer, to respond to the needs. Mm-hmm. And then we made the decision too, because we're right next to a big, huge medical complex, Memorial Hospital. And so we reached out to the infectious disease department, who was treating the COVID patients primarily. And we offered, any and all COVID positive patients and or highly symptomatic patients that they wrote prescriptions for, if they simply put, diagnosis of COVID on the prescriptions, then we gave their prescriptions to them free. And so, to try to help them out and to help us out, also. And so, quite a while back, we went to, curbside delivery, delivery and curbside service. And so we, put a sign up there to call. And so we would just simply take the prescription out to them at no charge, give it to them. And we told, a lot of the community that we were offering that service, to try to help them out. We have since, about 2 weeks ago, we started letting patients in, and this is the part that you're talking about, things have changed. We take their temperature, we ask them for a series of questions, have you been in contact with a COVID positive patient? And then we limit the number of patients that come in. And so we've been doing that for the last couple of weeks, and it's gone really well. Who knows how long we're going to continue to do that, is really, really careful. We wear masks when we're interacting with patients. The key to it is, just taking the extra precautions, hand sanitize, clean your hands, when you interact with patients. And so, it's certainly been new for us. But I feel like the staff has adapted real well and done what we can, to make this process as painless as possible.
Well, it sounds definitely like you've stepped up and met the challenges. And so what was an average day for you like before all of this excitement started?
Well, we're one of the busiest independent pharmacies on the Gulf Coast. And so, we feel, I forget the last count, I think it's like 15 prescriptions a minute. I have two other full-time pharmacists. I have a part-time pharmacist, numerous, technicians and that sort of thing. And so, it's just, I'm fortunate in that I kind of oversee the companies and I do feel prescriptions get involved, but it is, it was just hectic, nonstop, interacting with patients and filling prescriptions. We've seen that the March was a really busy month, even more prescriptions than normal. April has really, it's slowed down. We're probably off about 15-20%, and talking to other, pharmacies, we're seeing the same thing, because the doctor's offices have been pretty much closed. And so we're not seeing the new prescriptions and we're still seeing the refills. And this month, it's starting to pick up a little bit more. So, we've got our fingers crossed that the cases continue to decline. But, it's going to be this way for a while.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you. How do you foresee your future? And have you learned any new ways or adapted any new types of practices that you're going to continue with?
Well, we're obviously doing a lot of delivery. We're doing a lot of curbside and that sort of thing. And so, I foresee in the next, few months that we're going to offer the curbside, because there's always patients that don't feel comfortable coming in. And I understand if you're, 85 years old or 80 years old and you've got COPD or diabetes and, you want to limit, your exposure to the general public. And absolutely. So, I see us offering that, that service for, months on end and, until this, dissipates and goes away and you're not seeing any new cases. We're fortunate in Harrison County that we don't have a lot of cases, but, generally in Harrison County, we may have, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, new cases a day. Now, as opposed to 15 and 20 and 30, we're not hit as hard as other areas, but we still need to take the precautions and do the things that we need to do Interacting with the patients over the phone as much as you can, credit cards as opposed to cash, and so it's a whole new way.
You said it. It's definitely a new way, and I think because of the mystery behind the disease and how it travels, and just the exactness of tracking it, really has just been challenging for everyone. And so when you mentioned that there was a slight dip in the refills, do you find that doctors were refilling for longer periods of time just to cover everyone?
Yeah, that's what we saw in March, that we filled a lot of 90-day supplies and a lot of medications that were being refilled just a little bit early, which was fine. The insurance companies, realized that. We would get emails, saying it's okay. So we were seeing a lot of 90-day supplies, and those are going to start coming back in. But where we saw the biggest decline were in new prescriptions. The ear, nose, and throats, and obviously the surgeries. The only thing they were really doing in the hospital were just the at risk and those patients. So I think you're going to see that starting to increase. I know that elective orthopedic surgeries have really picked up in the last week or so, because now they can start doing them. And so, but we try to do a lot of things to help the community. Our niche, I guess, is because of sanitizer. There was a fundraiser, and we donated a bunch of hand sanitizer to the hospital and nursing staffs, and we still do that a lot. Even if it's just a little 1 ounce pocket size, that they can stick in their pocket and take with them when they go to the grocery store and that sort of thing. So, we're working with other agencies, to try to help them do some things, and with churches and that sort of stuff. So everybody's just pitching in and doing their part.
Yeah, well, that is life saving, I want to say, because it has been the one. I don't know if it's the number one, maybe after the toilet paper rush, but it's like the number one demand that everybody just had to have. So come on back. That has been just one interesting dilemma. But I tell you, it really is reassuring for everyone, I'm sure, that you all were still able to supply their needs and still be open and still find a way to make sure they were able to get what they needed, because so many opinions across the country were just mixed with whether or not I should get more medicine. Would that hurt the pocket of someone? And I know even before this happened, there's always been programs in place to deliver medicines to those that were not able to come out. Is it better for a pharmacy to have medicine dispensed in 90-day supplies? Does that hurt your business in any way?
It does. It's kind of hurt. That's been the trend for the last, few years, that 90-day supplies. And so, what that does for us is it cuts, takes three prescriptions to one prescription. So, it does affect us, financially, at the bottom line. But, it's certainly more convenient, for, the patients. What I don't like to see is when you see the real, real expensive meds that are, hundreds of dollars, and then, somebody gets a 90-day supply, and then 2 weeks later they get taken off of it, and now you've wasted $2,000 worth of medicine. And so I don't really like to see that a whole lot, but it's certainly easier and more convenient for the patient to get the 90-day supply.
Sure. Well, for other people in the area who may just be learning about you for the first time and may want to connect with you, what other services do you provide?
Yeah, we deliver, we have charge accounts. Don't say it real loud. We have charge accounts, approved charge accounts. Nobody hardly.
I was going to say that's a classic.
And, we supply long-term care facilities. I do lots of facilities. We do packaging. We have some durable medical equipment. We have a soda fountain. I actually have, 100-year-old drugstore fixtures that came, well, actually they're over 100 years old, that that I found in an old drugstore way up in the north part of the state. Wow. And I had them refinished. And so, you know, it's a cliche, you know, the old timey pharmacy or whatever, but that's, you know, that I was born and raised in a small town. You know, I remember going to the soda fountain and doing those kind of things. Yeah. So, you know, we really do, you know, try to portray that and try to, you know, the way, you know, the reason that, you know, that we've been able to be in business for, you know, almost 40 years is the way that we treat folks. You know, that's the bottom line. You know, you can get drugs anywhere, but, you know, the way that you interact with them and my pharmacist, they know your name and they, you know, we try to do everything we can to try, you know, take care of their needs. Mm-hmm. You know, I also do, you know, pharmacy compounding. You know, I've had a compounding business for a number of years, and then home infusion. So there's not a whole lot that we don't do. And yeah. You know, one stop shop if you want to use that. You know, ultimately it comes down to how we treat you.
Well, you know, you said it, that is so, so valuable, especially at a time when everybody has been isolated. I'm sure people have to now figure out relationships again, and who do we trust? Oh, yeah. And how do I know you're not affected, so to speak? It's a thing now, you know, so if you don't have a mask, I mean, the question might kind of come up there. But I tell you, you because of the years you have some antique products and antique ways that are not old per se, but valued. And so you should maybe look at being a part-time museum. You know, maybe we can come by and see some things that we don't see anymore.
Well, I've got piles of stuff that are, you know, 100 and some odd years old. That we have on display.
Amanda Line 1.
So.
Well, I love it because I have relatives that are older and they're always looking for what used to be, you know, the 3-6s and some of the old medicine you can't find anymore. So you are like a diamond in the rough when they can say, wait, they have that? I'm headed there. I'm on my way.
And I tell everybody that the ice cream that we serve is 0 calorie.
Oh.
I don't think they believe it because it's not true, but that's what I tell them. That's it. You can eat all you want. It has 0 calories. We're the only ice cream producer that has 0 calorie ice cream.
Oh, well, I have to take a trip and come to your place to get your ice cream because that is the ice cream I've been looking for.
I wish, yeah.
Well, I tell you, it's just been really a pleasure to speak with you because we don't get to always talk to the pharmacies, but it's just been great to get the perspective from different businesses, different, you know, points of view. How do you think you've changed in all your years that of everything you've seen? How have you changed with this situation and how you've really risen to the occasion?
Well, you know, for me, you know, this has never been about purely business. You know, it's like when I first got out of pharmacy school or shortly thereafter, I actually worked in a hospital. There's nothing wrong with working in a hospital. You know, but for me, I had to have that patient interaction. You know, that's what makes the difference, you know, because every time I get up and go out of my office, walk out up front, you know, I see a familiar face and I wisecrack to them, you know, and, you know, cut up with them. You know, I had a patient earlier, you know, who had been here forever, and he was standing there with his mask, and I, you know, walked and said, oh, you got the COVID, don't you? And I walked right on past him, you know, and he's laughing, cutting up and all that. You know, so I guess, you know, it's pharmacy for me was a job when we, you know, that's what, you know, you look at it, you know, a chosen profession or whatever. But it's become, you know, really kind of a social life, you know, for me. You know, we see the smiles on their faces and interact with them. And so, and I think it's even more important in this period of time. If somebody can come in, you can make them laugh, you know, crack a joke or whatever, because chances are they may have only gotten out of the house, you know, just to come to the pharmacy. And so it's kind of evolved, you know, in that, you know, I think that we have even a bigger responsibility to interact with them. We do a lot of delivering for hospices, you know, and so I tell my delivery people, you know, to go in, you know, talk to them, you know, for a few minutes because that you may, that may be the only person that they see the entire day. Mm. And so if you can bring a little smile to their face and interact with them a little bit, then, you know, that's what makes a difference.
Well, I really appreciate you saying that, because that has been the one element that has been so significant in the hospital setting when someone is in there because of that disease. Is that somebody else? Well, I'll say that, you know, again, you know, I appreciate what you said, because that's been the one element that's been missing in the hospital, not being able to be touched by anyone, not being able to connect with someone. And it really was for the safety of the individual and the ones giving the care. But my goodness, what a huge gap of something that is so necessary and so important, to be able to feel that someone cares about you and is doing their absolute best. And so I do understand completely, you know, what you provide to the community. It's about relationships, and that means much more when you have that along with the medicine that's going to be helping you to get better. So now, have there been challenges for you to get medication that you know, you normally wouldn't have a difficult time with?
Well, you know, I kind of got ahead of the curve, I guess you could say.
Okay.
I wouldn't say that I hoarded, but before this all started, when it, I mean, it was early in its infancy, you know, I went and ordered quite a bit of my top 200 drugs. Mm. And so, you know, I wanted to make sure that, you know, I had, you know, the supply that I needed to take care of my patients. So, but yeah, there have been some shortages, and, you know, the two big drugs, obviously, is hydroxychloroquine and azithromycin. And so I reached out to my wholesaler and said, look, this is what I'm doing. You know, I'm donating it. And so they've been able to keep me, you know, maintained with a good supply of that, you know, make sure that I didn't run out, because it was helping the community and that sort of thing. And so, you know, we put some effort into making sure that we maintained our drug pipeline, and we haven't really had any significant problems. Some of the other, you know, over-the-counter type things that I mentioned earlier, mm-hmm. thermometers and all that, that's a battle every day. And you know, every single day, I go to numerous websites to my wholesalers and look and see, do you have isopropyl 70% alcohol? Do you have this, and that? So those are the things that we're really, you know, seeing shortages of, that's really hard to get.
Well, I tell you, speaking about being the years that you've put in, you used wisdom, which really made the difference in having all of the supplies that you needed. But one of the things that can probably become a new technique is being able to make your own hand sanitizer.
That's right.
I think that'll be something that people keep for quite a while, knowing that they can take care of that supply in the event that an absence.
I think the hand sanitizer business, get invested in a hand sanitizer company 6 months ago, you'll be sitting real good now.
Absolutely, absolutely. But I tell you, you know, it still does not beat soap and water. I am really thinking that hopefully everyone has been educated to the point where what we have learned in kindergarten, even at home, is something that really has been the mainstay for all of this to improve, is that we were taught to wash our hands. And so that just will always be number one. And so you may need to get that side sink in your your building. Yeah. So that people can do that first, you know, because it just covers everything. But it's just been fantastic. So I do appreciate your time. And I think you mentioned one last question. You mentioned the drug, some of them that were being prescribed by doctors. Have you been a part of supplying some of the medication that's been helping to heal people who've had COVID-19?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. The protocol was established. I say protocol, I know that that's what they were doing early on here, or maybe a month into it, somewhere, you know, end of March or whatever. And, you know, they came up with the protocol to treat COVID positive patients. And so, you know, it I kind of wish that I had the ability to track them all, you know, and see, you know, what the response, you know, how, what the recovery rate has been. But yeah, we've been directly involved with, you know, providing medications for the COVID patients.
Well, that must be very reassuring to say that you're in the business to do what you do, but to be one of the ones to actually directly impact people who needed to have something to try to help heal them has to be just a satisfying feeling and just really motivation to continue on. So, you know, congratulations again.
What was unusual about that, too, is that for every COVID or every hydroxychloroquine prescription and azithromycin that I filled, I probably had 20 requests to fill it that I turned down, and I explained that. You know, it. We had a lot of in the medical community that were wanting to get it in case, you know, and we, you know, I told, you know, everybody who called, a lot of them were, you know, physicians or staff members. And I said, look, you know, I really, you know, I don't want to dispense it, you know, because if we need it for patients that have an active disease state, I want to be able to provide it to them. If you or anyone in your staff gets it, I had, and I did, I put several hundred back that we will dispense, you know, in the case that you need it, you know, but I didn't want to dispense it, you know, it, I wanted to hang on to that and only use it for, you know, the patients that, that actually need it. And then, you know, there's other diagnoses that require it that we've always filled and to be able to handle, you know, my patient load. And so, and out of all the prescriptions that I turned down, I haven't had a single one that call and say, okay, now I need it. So we made a good choice by making sure that we had a supply for the patients that really needed it.
And that is just excellent. As we have continued to learn more about the drug and, you know, where they've tried to use different ones to see if it would make a difference. And so it that's just fantastic to know that you were able to supply that to people who needed it. And so have you had any personal effects or experiences where friends or loved ones have been affected?
No, I mean, I know people who know people, but no one, you know, really close to us that I'm aware of. But I do know, you know, I know quite a few people that have had, you know, that know people that have.
Yes. Well, very good, again, because great practices continue to reflect on what you've done. And so we have to stick around wisdom. So I will definitely have to come and visit you over there.
I'll get some of that grilled calorie ice cream.
Oh, you know, and I don't know if you have another flavor, but we can work on that, too. So please tell everyone how they can connect with you so that they can pass by and get some of that ice cream and everything else that you offer.
Okay. Yeah. Just give us a call at, Sergeant Discount Drugs, 4300 15th Street, Gulfport, Mississippi, 228-864-3514. You can see us on social media, Sergeant Discount Drugs, you know, compounding and infusion services. So we're out there. You can find us. Come by, say hello. You don't have to buy anything. I'll treat you to some of that zero-calorie ice cream.
I love it. I love it. Well, Craig Sarton, thank you so much. It's been a pleasure speaking with you. And many, many more years, I'm sure, will be in your family and in your history for all that you've provided, because you have a great foundation. So thank you so much for doing what you do and for taking time. And enjoy getting back out into the city.
That's right. Thank you so much.
All right. You take care.
You too. Bye-bye.
All right.